life. Most Christians, most people never, ever, ever hear what I've just shared. Because they think I'm mad enough saying that I came back from the dead. Let alone sharing that. How many would understand that? I have Christians running out of the room when I start sharing this. People said to me, oh, you had a dream or a vision. I said, well, if I had a dream or a vision and didn't die, I suppose that's all right. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 to 4 says, I know a man in Christ, whether he's in his body or out of the body, went up into the third heaven. I said, I could sit with that. I said, but if you actually knew any more about my testimony, you realise that if it was just a vision, I don't think the powers of darkness would really have cared too much about me. But what transpired directly after that has so driven me into the presence of God and so outlined and made a clear understanding of the kingdom of darkness that rules this world and that Christ has come to set us free from that dominion that we walk on this earth. He said, I'm not going to remove from this earth. You're going to be in this earth. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have attack. You're going to have trials. You're going to have yourself misjudged. You're going to be in all different ways wrecked. But if you come to me, I will transform you. I will give you an anointing and authority to stand in this demonic possessed world and actually be sons and daughters of light and victorious overcomers through the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You do not love your life even to death. You'll have a power and authority which will cause the demons to run when they see you coming. We're not to be afraid of them. They're to get out of our way. Because how many know that light is greater than darkness? But the question is, how much light are you letting in? How many footholds have you got? How much of you actually said, I want to be cleansed, I want to be free, I want to be accepted, or how many do you want to wallow in your own self-pity and in your own brokenness? How many want to be in a permanent hospital, or how many actually want to be healed, delivered, set free, and grow up? I came out of the gutter. I came out of the streets. I came out of a cesspool of filth and perversion. I was completely and absolutely stoned every single day for years. I had so much THC in my body that one cigarette would send me straight through the ceiling. I'd almost be tripping just on a cigarette. Jesus Christ can set you free, but you're going to have to really want it. You're going to have to basically go, God, come to me, deliver me, minister to me, empower me. Amen? By grace we're saved. That covers us with the blood of Jesus, covers us with his power, and hides us in the holiness, and literally keeps the enemy blinded so he cannot find us. That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, blind the powers of darkness so they can't find me. You realize when they rebuild the walls of Nehemiah, one of them had a sword, the other one was trying to put the bricks back up. When you start to rebuild your life, you need the sword of the Spirit in one hand, and you need the grace of God to start rebuilding the broken altar of your life, so that you have an opportunity to stand in the battle, but yet you're a warrior bride. You are preparing your heart for intimacy with the bridegroom, but you're also a warrior in the Spirit, because you can't just expect other people to fight for you. There is a place where you're going to have to rise up, take up that shield of faith, and fight the good fight of faith. Because otherwise you become spiritual dependencies, you become spiritual babies, and you're always running there for the dummy. You're always running for someone else to suck off. You're always running to try and get filled up with someone else praying for you or their anointing. What you actually got to do is run into the Lord and find him to set you free, because the encounter with him is what will keep you in those dark hours when they come. Because if you don't, you will not be prepared. You will not be able to stand, because you will not have that place in God of trust and the knowledge of the authority that you have as a believer in Christ. So there's a place where we have actually got to get people to a place where they rise up in their own place in God and say, Lord, fill me up. Lord, come to me. Let the light of your love and radiance fill my vessel, that I might walk in the radiance and glory of God. And it says, keep a clean conscience. Remove the footholds, expose the deeds of darkness to the light. Bring those things that are troublesome in your own soul, that are bondage to your own being. And sometimes there's places where you've got to pray that through. You've got to actually bring that before another Christian. James 5 says, bring it to an elder, bring it to someone, a man, a woman of God. Confess those sins. You with me? Pray together. The prayer of faith will break the power of the enemy's hold over your life. As you confess those sins, you will be healed. Body, soul, and spirit. Complete and entire, mature, standing in the radiance of God's love and glory. And I tell you what, that's a fearful and awesome thing to see when a Christian actually gets set free, set on fire, and filled with the radiance and glory of God. That is an amazing thing, because then, guess what? As you start looking like an angel and start shining like one, you're getting prepared for death. They stoned Stephen. Looked like an angel. But guess what? We're going to heaven to make my day. Anointed for burial. You know what we're getting ready for? We're getting anointed, prepared to die. But we won't die. Our physical bodies will, but our outer body will pass away, and our spirit body should go from glory to glory and strength to strength, so that our spirit being is completely, actually starting to live outside our physical body, that we're living in the spirit, so that our spiritual being is getting so bright that our physical body can't contain the actual spirit of the human being who's actually maturing and growing in Christ, so that the anointing of God is such that we are actually starting to radiate the light of Christ in every part of us. And the love of God, and the peace of God, and the presence of God dispels darkness firstly in our own life and then in those around us. That we become light bringers, bringers of light, healers, light bearers into a darkened world where we can extend hope, not in us, but in Jesus. Not to become dependent upon us, but upon Christ. Amen? I've finished preaching. That's it. You got the whole lot. Shall we pray? Amen. Is this what you're looking for, Jeff? I don't know, mate. Was that something kind of what you're hoping for? I don't know what.
Yeah, did you feel we'll take a break and finish with some of the healing that you did and stuff like that?
Yeah, I can share. There's heaps of stuff. I mean, I can share until the cows come home on testimonies. Oh, yeah. I can share some more things if you want. You want to hear some more? It's up to you. I mean, do you want to take a break or keep going? It doesn't bother me. Yeah, okay, I'll share some more stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's go for it. God then just started saying, okay, go and pray. You know what I mean? And I read in the Bible, don't go laying hands on people too quickly. So I thought, right, I'm praying for the cows. Cows look like they had demons in them. Kicking me all the time, prayed. They went so quiet that my brother-in-law, who was milking 180 cows, I was milking 180, said the cows had gone so quiet. I said, what are you doing to them? I said, I'm praying for them. Didn't tell us, casting all the mongrel demons out of them. Because if pigs can have them, I thought, well, most of the cows got tormented too. So these poor cows are upset. They were troubled. Do you know what I mean? So I prayed the peace of God on them. I prayed the Spirit of God to rest on them. Trouble is, my brother-in-law said, they're so docile that they won't walk out once they've been milked. He said, I want you to pray they get a bit of a hurry up, you know what I mean? They won't walk out. They're standing there chewing their cud. They're so flipping sleepy, these cows. What the heck's going on? So I had to pray then that they'd rev themselves up a bit and get out of the cow shed once we milk them. Well, I'm in there trying to practice on the cows, you know what I mean? Because I was new, man, I was new. And I was praying for them, I saw a cow with pink eye, blind eye, completely blind. I was drenching it one day and I saw it and I felt the voice of God say, pray for this cow, I'll heal it. I thought, heal his blind eyes. I said, well, the Bible says you heal the blind eyes. Right, I'm having a go. Had another voice as I'm about to do that saying, you're an idiot. I thought, well, I don't care. I raised my hand up, did what they did at church, closed my eyes, put my hand on the cow's eye. Masikaba. Felt the power of God go flying through my hand. I thought, right, that cow's healed. Took my hand away, still blind. You know, I thought, oh, great, didn't work. Heard another voice speak to me, say, yeah, you moron, of course it doesn't work. You, what do you think you are? You flipping Billy Graham or something? You know what I mean? I got this thing going off here. I hear this voice and I say, well, look, I'm not listening to you. I've had a guts full of you. I heard the voice of God. I believe he told me to actually pray and he'd heal. So I'm going to actually bend faith. Thank God for that healing miracle. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going for this. I believe God's going to heal it. For the next 10 days, I mean, I didn't see anything, but I just kept thanking God. Next minute I'm up there drenching number 43, look at this cow. I thought, gosh, it's got two clear eyes. I thought, you idiot, you should have written it down. I've got a chalkboard. If they get mastitis, you write it up. You know what I mean? So I thought, I better write it. I should have written it up so I didn't get the number wrong. I thought, well, maybe it's in the, there was a foggy morning. Maybe the cow's down the farm. So I jumped on the motorbike, raced down, no blind cow. You know what I mean? Thought it got lost down there in the fog, you know, couldn't see its way out. No cow in the paddock. Went through the entire herd, nothing. I thought, well, my brother-in-law, Wayne, he knows about cows. He'll know that cow. I'll go and ask him. My brother-in-law was a heathen, you know what I mean? So was my sister. So I went in, got into the house, started eating our porridge, and I said, oh, Wayne, number 43. He said, yeah, what's wrong with that? I said, oh, that's the one with the pink eye, isn't it, blind? He said, yeah. I said, well, she's healed. He said, what do you mean healed? She can see. She's got two good clean eyes. I prayed for her. God healed her. How many know that would change the breakfast table's conversation? He nearly swallowed his spoon, the porridge and the plate, you know what I mean? So he just dropped his head and went, huh? I said, if you don't believe me, now I get bold, you see. If you don't believe me, you go and milk my cows tonight and I'll milk your cows. He said, well, I will then. I said, well, you have a look. Came back that night. How many know you got a person who's got cows with blind eyes suddenly seen? You're going to get his attention. He's a farmer. Week later, he's saved. He came into the bedroom. He came in bawling his eyes out, going, I've got to give my life to God. And because I'd been telling my sister, I just led her to the Lord in that meantime, because I was thinking, God, I want to lay hands on my sister. I'm sick of just laying hands on the cows. I want to lay hands on my sister. You know what I mean? I want to get her saved. And I could hear the point of contact, and I thought, well, say it's bind the strong man. So my sister's full of things, you know what I mean? So I said, God, I bind all the demons that are in my sister, name them, because how many know your family, you know what I mean? So she was holding on the motorbike on the back of me. I was binding these demons, and then I said, God said, now I want you to ask forgiveness, you know what I mean, and intercede for her on your behalf, and pray, and just say that God, she's going to repent. And so I said, Lord, I'm sorry that my sister's messed up so badly. She's rejected you and cursed you. I just pray that you'd just forgive her, that you would have mercy on my sister, that you would save her, and you would heal her up. She's gone through hell. Would you please help my sister on the farm? Next day, in the kitchen, she's standing there giving her life to Jesus. She said, what's going on? I said, well, I pray for you, bound all the demons. She said, well, what about my husband? I said, well, he's full of them, isn't he? She said, yes. I said, well, then you go, and when you go to sleep, why don't you go lay hands on him? I laid hands on you. Why don't you go lay hands on him, bind them all up, and pray they get saved? So she tried. She went over, reached over towards him. He woke up and said, what are you doing? I'm actually binding all the demons in your bed. You know what I mean? No, she didn't say that. She just said, well, it's, you know what I mean? Hello, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Just waving my arms. You know what I mean? It's a nice night tonight. A bit hot, are you? She told me the next morning, she said, I couldn't get to lay hands on him. Something inside him woke. I said, well, that's right. Don't give up. Have another crack at it. Pray and fast. She said, fast? I said, pray and fast. It means don't eat. You know what I mean? Went again, starts to pray for him. Next minute, he rolls out of bed on the ground. Body rolls away. She's going like this. The body's rolling away. Falls out of bed. She tells me, said, oh, I tried to pray for him and get the demons, and he rolled out of bed. I said, well, does he ever give you a hug? He said, oh, he's always over me. I mean, I said, well, when he gives you a hug, you go for it then. You flip and have it. You're in there, mate. You go for it. Well, two nights later, he's saved. He walks in, bawling his eyes out. My sister's following him. And he says, what must I do? I said, well, are you a sin? He said, oh, yeah, and heaps of things wrong. I said, well, you want to repent of your sin? Give your life to Jesus? He said, right, did that. He said, what do I do now? I said, well, you raise your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray for you. So I'd seen that in the church. You reach your hand out and try and pray for them, you know what I mean? So I went out to try and pray for him. Next one had this almighty crash on the floor. And I opened my eyes and he's gone. You know, I didn't even get him. I didn't even get to lay hands on him. That power guy hit him. He's gone. My sister sticks her head in. Oh, look at him. She's laughing. You know, look at him. Yeah, he's all the, oh, look at him. And I'm thinking, great. You know what I mean? He comes up out of this half daze. I said, Wayne, mate, what happened? He said, oh, I found this power hit me. Oh, I fell to the ground. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I saw this light. And I saw this throne. And I saw a person with face shining. I saw angels. I saw all. And I'm thinking, you saw more than me. I went through hell backwards, so I got to go through, and you just fall on the ground, and you get the whole 9 yards, you know what I mean? And he said, oh, it's amazing, it's so beautiful. I said, you want some more? He said, yeah. I said, well, raise your hands up, raise his hands up. Well, bam, he's gone again. I said to my sister, if he ever gives you trouble, just pray for him, you know what I mean? This is real stuff. This really happened right in front of my very eyes. I mean, then that's it. I went for it. I started just going for everybody. Anything that moved, mate. Anything was alive. And we just started praying, going for it. God then took me out into the headhunters. They live with people who peel bark off trees. They live with G-strings, blowpipes, and the pygmies. They live up in Borneo. They call them the wild men of Borneo. The sea dayak, the iban, the Katazan lebuk. We worked with them. We lived in their longhouses with them. We ate where they ate. They slept where they slept. We went up in these longhouses, 100 people living under one roof, and up on the stilts, up in the Rajong River of Sarawak. Climbed up on this boat. These people ran away because they hadn't seen a white man. They'd only ever seen him at a distance. They thought the white men were the Arumputi, white monkeys. They thought they were either demons or monkeys, white monkeys. They didn't know what we were. You know what I mean? I walked in there. They stayed, come back. The elders came back. And they said, what do you come here for? I said, we come to talk about God. So I got some people. We preached them Bahasa Melayu. We preached the gospel to them. As we're preaching the gospel, they started bawling their eyes out. As these people are bawling their eyes out, they got cobras tattooed into their neck. They got earrings with brass weights bringing their earlobes down to here. I mean, we've got people here, man. They're from a different world. I'm looking at them and now I said to the interpreter, what the heck are they doing? He said, oh, we're not telling them yet. But we not get to that in the message. But these people are repenting of their sins. I said, well, that's good. Oh, so we didn't have to tell them. God's obviously telling them. So they've got little kiddies, they've got old people confessing their sins. But they ain't just saying quietly, oh God, forgive me of my sins, I'm such a mess. They're actually telling their sins out loud. They're actually publicly speaking out, God, I've done this wrong. I'm sorry for this. I've really butchered this one. You know what I mean? And they just don't know. It's told them not to do this. So they're just out there telling God their sins. And it's busting the whole community. The whole community's getting broken open. I said, God, what should we do? He said, nothing, son, just wait. So for half an hour, they're just weeping and repenting. All little kids, big, old people weeping and busting their heart. It's called repentance. It's called godly sorrow. So much I see has got nothing to do with godly sorrow, nothing to do with repentance. I wonder why half of them even come to the altar nowadays. For a bless me party? It's to repent. As they came, they started repenting, cleaning their lives cleaned up. As I'm looking at them, God said, now I want you to go and pray for the sick. I said, God, what should we do? He said, well, you ask the people to pray and I'll show them who to pray for. I said, well, you ask God, go out and start praying. As I said, that is their leader. God said, well, how about you? I said, oh, I shouldn't do that myself. So I said, God, how about me? Who should I pray for? Who should I actually pray for? As I'm looking to see a man who's a hunchback, as I see this man bent over, completely hunched up, I said, Lord, show me a vision of a woman in a movie called Jesus being healed in Capernaum, the Campus Crusades movie. Jesus in the synagogue heals this woman who's been 18 years oppressed. Remember that one? Hunchback. She's like this and he touches her in the movie. And I see a vision of Jesus doing this. And I felt the Lord say, you go over and lay hands on mom and heal them. So I thought, well, no one else here. It's me. So I've had the vision. God's showing me that. He's spoken to me. I go over. So I put my hand on his head here, my hand on his hunchback here. And next minute I start praying. I feel power hit me with my eyes closed. Next minute I feel his head start rising. Next minute, his head's right up here, and I'm thinking, my eyes are still closed. I thought, he must be healed. Ran my finger up his spine, straight as a die. I thought, what? Open my eyes. Here he is, totally straight. I thought, if this man is healed, then he'll be able to lift his hands above his neck, because otherwise it's all knotted, you know what I mean? They won't be able to do this. So I slowly start to lift his left hand up. Next minute, he shoots both hands up above his head, and he gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit's going, Masada Masiki. We didn't even pray for that yet, you know what I mean? And he got it. I'm looking around going, did anybody see that? You know what I mean? No one saw it. Because they were all getting slain in the spirit, demons cast out of them, miracles and healings taking place. That whole village came together that night and had what they call a gawa, like a festival. They called all the elders in and they chose it as an eldership for the people in the community to receive Jesus into the community. They closed up the whole day when they normally go into the paddy fields and the jungle to hunt. They closed the entire day down to festival for God because God had come to their village. Oh, man. So here we are having a big festival. They were dressed up in bear skins, you know what I mean? And hornbills jumping around. I mean, this is wild stuff, mate, with big swords. And I mean, it's all on. Someone was demonic, but I mean, we didn't know, and they didn't know. They were just trying to worship God. So when we're in there doing all this stuff, at the end of the day, go to sleep, maybe 2 in the morning, wake up, and I'm under a mosquito net, 4:30, I feel like something's looking at me. That's usually spiritual demons, but for some reason I woke up and I didn't feel afraid. Woke up, looked through my net, here's a bunch of these people, you know what I mean, sitting outside my net. Oh, I pulled my net up, my interpreter's asleep. I said, what, mate, wake up. What's happening? He said, oh, these people. They usually go to the paddy field early in the morning, 4:35 in the morning, but because they're not going, they want to know more about God. I'm thinking, well, there goes the quiet time, you know what I mean? We haven't had one, you know what I mean? Haven't had any sleep, actually. You know, and I thought, okay, what do you guys want? They said, we want to know more about God. So I teach them. After about an hour, I've run out, you know what I mean? I've told them everything I know is any use. You know what I mean? Told them, and they said, well, can you ask questions? I said, you've got a question you ask. The man said, last night God came and miracles, healings take place. Can God heal today? And I said, of course, God healed yesterday, today and forever. Of course he can. He said, well, can you pray for the sick that need healing today? I said, of course. Where are they? They said, they're waiting outside for you to wake up. I looked out the window, out the straw hut on the stilts. Here is a line of people going back into the jungle. I said, what did they come for? Healing. I said, God? How many go there? God, I mean, well, I tell you, that was my favourite saying, God. As I did that, we got James 5. It says, confess your sins to one another, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal them. So I said to them, I said, have you got any oil? They said, yes, we have sunflower oil for cooking, or we have used sump oil for the engine, for the generator. Engine oil, what do you want, engine oil or sunflower oil? I'm thinking, well, I don't want the engine oil. Bring some sunflower oil, you know what I mean? Pour in a bowl. They said, what do you do with that? I said, Bible, and I read it, interpreter, confess your sins, we pray for you to be healed. It's the word God gave me. God can confess their sins, because I didn't even know if they're saved. Give their life to God, pick the oil up, slap them on them, healed, instantly. Healed, 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 healed. Went into the hospital in Singapore. My friend Harry Lee, he picked me up and take me to the hospital. He said, I said, who are we praying for today, Harry, Brother Harry? Brother Harry said, oh, we're going to pray for someone who can't walk. I said, who's praying? He said, you pray, you're a missionary. I said, how long cannot walk for? He said, 2-3 years, paralyzed, leg down, can't walk. Can pray. I said, can pray. God? Paralyzed, can't walk. You know, where's that? It's in there somewhere, you know what I mean? God highlighted, Acts. Got it in, this man had been paralyzed since birth. I thought, well, that boy's even worse than this girl. She's only been paralyzed for a few years. This one here's been paralyzed since birth, you know what I mean? And saw, and Peter looked at him and said, have you got faith? Or was Peter or Paul? Have you got faith to be healed? In the name of Jesus, rise, stand up and walk. I thought, okay, that's the word. Went to that, she spoke. She came up, and this is a few years ago when we were here last time, and she looked at me and she said, you remember me? I said, no. She said, well, I was the lady that you brought her two little boys that you prayed for, you and your wife, and I had a miraculous healing. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, you came to a Guildford community church. You prayed, and you were telling people about miracles and healings and God touching people, and I was a bit cynical. I was pretty hardened, and my husband had left me, you know what I mean, because I'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. But you didn't know that, because when I came up, you asked me, well, how can I pray for you? And you said, well, if you can hear from God, you tell me. God will tell you. God will tell you. You're a man of God. You can hear. Ask him. Don't ask me. I'm thinking, well, we've got a real live one here. You know what I mean? So I thought, what? God? And he said, breast, chest, cancer. I said, Jane, can you come over, please? And she came on over. And because I didn't go lay a hand on someone's breast, you know what I mean? She said, can you put your hand right there? She put her hand right there. And this woman, of course, she knew that we didn't know. So I put my hand on top of it, and she said, as we did that, fire hit her chest, and she burst into tears. We commanded and rebuked whatever we did. I don't even know what we did, but because if I do it and tell you, you might use it as a recipe. But we did whatever we did as we felt led by God. As we did it, walked away to the next person. There's some woman bawling her eyes out with laid hand on the breast and had no clue about it. We come back 7 years later. This woman has just comes up to us in the Guildford Community Church and said, you remember me? I said, no. She said, here's my sons. I want to introduce them to the man who prayed for mummy, who would not have a mummy had it not happened. I said, tell me what happened. She said, well, I knew something had happened, but I had to go to my specialist who wanted to cut and do the surgery and do the work on me. You know what I mean? I said, I'm dying. Basically, it's all over. It's gone through the lymphatic. I'm finished. It's gone out of the breast. I'm finished. I'm a dead piece, dead woman. And she went to him and said to this consultant, said, is there any chance of there any been any change at all? He said, well, no. She said, would you be interested in retesting me again? He said, well, look, we've done all the tests. We've got all the... There's no way. It just doesn't happen. We don't want to put your hopes up. She didn't tell her being a Christian meeting, had someone pray for him to come back from the dead. You know what I mean? She just wanted to just shut up about that and just see what happened. She said, well, look, I really would like to insist that you actually do the test again. You know what I mean? Just for me. Because he knew, you know, when cancer patients, you really, doctors are almost obligated to do their request, especially when they've got a death sentence on them. So he did it. Came back, no cancer. Completely gone. Absolutely. All death gone. The whole lot gone. And she said, I've been going back there for the last 7 years because he brings me in and continually checks me because he doesn't believe it. He just cannot understand how that cancer had just completely and totally disappeared out of her body. All traces of death and destruction are gone. You know why? Because we have power in the name of Jesus over death. Does everyone get healed? I wish to think they all did. But you know what I mean? I find people I pray for that have died. But the fact is that they're saved and gone to heaven. But not everyone is saved and goes to heaven. Not everyone got healed when Jesus ministered. He healed some. He raised some from the dead. He said, it's a token. Because all the healing you might get, one day you will die. You with me? The greatest thing is your soul being in the hands of Jesus going into glory. So I will continue to pray for miracles, continue to pray for deliverance, continue to pray for healings, continue to pray for salvation. But there is a whole thing of God. You know what I mean? Moving. And seeing hearts and knowing people's souls and knowing people's reaction. He knows us and knows what we're doing. You know what I mean? And knows where we're at. Knows how we think. He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to be renewed. He wants us to be made whole. He wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit and power. Amen?